Oh, yuck. I had discovered why the White Crow had all that energy. It had been dining on one of my dead brothers. Some evil part of me tossed up the thought that I could follow the bird's example. Another part wondered what would happen if Croaker found out. That man was obsessed with the holy state of company brotherhood.
You never know what you'll do until you're in the ring with the bull, do you?
What?
A proverb from back home. Means that actually facing the reality is never quite like preparing to face the reality. You never really know what you'll do until you get there. I passed the rest of the captured, not meeting any open eyes. I wondered if they could hear. I offered up some reassurances that sounded feeble even to me. The cavern shrank. When it came time to get down and crawl, I crawled. I told Swan, "Maybe it's good you being here after all. I'm starting to have little dizzy spells."
"You hear anything?"
I listened. This time I did hear something. Sounds like somebody singing. A marching song? Somebody full of yo-ho-hos. What the devil?
"Down here? We have dwarfs, too?"
"Dwarfs?"
"Mythical creatures. Like short people with big beards and permanent bad tempers? They live underground like Nagas, only supposedly big on mining and metalworking? If they ever did exist, they died out a long time ago."
The singing was getting louder. Let's get this handled before somebody interrupts. Chapter 92. The pessimist in me was sure I would not be able to pull it off. If nothing else, the earthquake Swan mentioned would in some way have sealed the chamber of unholy books off from the rest of the world. If the chamber was not sealed off, then I would trip the only booby trap that Goblin had overlooked. If Goblin had not overlooked any booby traps, then the pickaxe would not be a protective key. It would be a trigger igniting the thousand secret sorceries protecting the books.
"Sleepy, do you know you talk to yourself when you're worried about stuff?"
"What?"
"You're crawling along there muttering about all the bad things that are going to happen. You keep on and you're going to convince me."
That was twice. I had to get that under control. I did not used to do that. The place where the books of the dead were hidden had not changed visibly. The pessimist in me worked hard to find a dangerous difference, though. Swan finally asked,
"Are you going to study on it till we pass out from hunger? Or are you going to go ahead and do something?"
I always was a better planner than a doer, Willow. I sucked in a peck of frigid air, took the pickaxe out of my waistband, intoned, "O Lord of heaven and earth, let there be no password that has to go with this."
"Right behind you, boss," Swan said, making a joke as he nudged me forward. "Don't be shy now."
Of course not. That would belittle Goblin's sacrifice and memory. I realized that my breathing had turned to rapid, shallow panting as I reached the point where Master Centaraxita had achieved flight. I held the pick in front of me with both hands, muscles protesting its weight, squeezing it so tight I feared I would leave my fingerprints etched upon it permanently. A tingling began in my hands.